NFL draft, NBA playoffs. So I could only imagine the airwaves have been busy this week. Dick, how are you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our focus is really going to turn to the draft. We have our mock draft on our show tomorrow, then the 2 days of the draft, Thursday, Friday. It's going to be wall-to-wall draft. But last night was all about the NBA playoffs, guys. That was as entertaining a back-to-back doubleheader that I've seen in a long, long time in this league. That was just 4 hours of really fun basketball to watch.
Dick, I watched it with my young bloke, in particular the first game, and what, with 30 seconds to go, I'm like, oh, well, the Knicks are gone. And I left. And I came back in the afternoon, and I said, oh, who won the other game? And he said, oh, Denver. And I said, oh, what? So how much did Philly win by? And he said, oh, no, they lost. I said, what? He said, they lost. I said, mate, they were 5 points up with 30 to go.
Oh, it's astonishing.
What happened?
It was astonishing. Nick Nurse, the coach, wants to blame it on the officials that not granting him a timeout. I think Nick Nurse needs to be, you know, far more demonstrative when trying to call a timeout. He was very hesitant. So the Knicks hit a three ball, which actually went off the rim and then came and splashed down, kind of similar to what we saw Kawhi Leonard do for the Raptors the year they won the championship a few years back, also against Philadelphia, by the way. And then, Nick Nurse should have just called a timeout right there. And instead, he let Philadelphia try to inbound the basketball, and Tyrese Maxey was double-teamed, lost control of the ball. Knicks got it back, and then, you know, even then, Philadelphia had an opportunity because the Knicks missed their first three-ball attempt. DiVincenzo missed. Terrible job of boxing out by both Joel Embiid and Nick Batum. They just stood around watching the ball. I mean, I teach my eighth graders this. When they were third graders, I taught my third graders. You got to go to the man first. You got to give him a forearm shiver. Then you go to the basketball. And neither one of these multi-million dollar athletes did that. They just stood there and watched. Hartenstein comes flying in and getting an offensive rebound and gives the Knicks new life. And you give DiVincenzo two opportunities to shoot a three within 8 seconds, he's definitely going to knock down one of them. And he knocked down that second one.
What'd you make of Joel Embiid after the match with Philly down 0-2, heading back to Philly to save their season, saying flat out, we're going to win this series? I mean, Embiid can hardly get up and down the court. He's still producing, you know, 30-plus point nights, but, geez, fitness is questionable, isn't it?
Fitness is definitely – fitness is always questionable with Joel Embiid, but he is putting up the numbers. I had no problem with what he had to say. I actually believe that Philadelphia is probably the better team of the two. I went in the series thinking Philadelphia was the better team of the two. And if you watch just every minute of this series, you probably would think that Philadelphia is the best team of the two. I mean, Philadelphia has led for 90 of the 120 minutes played in these two games, and yet they're 0-2 in this series. So I wish he would have done it with a little more conviction. I wish he would have stared at the camera and said, listen, we're fine. We threw one away today. We probably could have had game one as well, but we're fine. We're going back home. It's going to be 2-2 after four. He said that, but he said it with his head down. I understand he's, you know, defeated after this game, but if you're the leader of that basketball team, you got to stare those reporters in the face and say, we're going to come back and we're going to win two, and it's going to be a three-game series, which, guys, if they can get through the first quarter, the first half, and show signs of life in Philadelphia and get that fan base believing that they can win game three and four, I think they can, guys. I really do think they can tie this series up at two games apiece and head back to New York.
Denver showed their fighting qualities yesterday, Dick, and I thought the Lakers were going to win that game, but they got beaten right at the death there. Can they bounce back? The Lakers?
Unfortunately, no, guys. I feel differently about the Lakers than I do about the 76ers. Now, we talked about the Lakers a couple weeks ago, and I said if there's one team that can get Denver in the Western Conference, it's L.A. And they have shown. I just told you that New York has only led for 30 minutes of the 120 minutes played. Denver has only led for 23 minutes of the 120 minutes played. L.A. has matched them punch for punch, but it doesn't matter, because they're down 2-0, and they had their opportunity. And the reason I think the Lakers are dead and Philadelphia is not, it's very simple. Denver's a way better basketball team than New York is. I mean, it's possible to beat New York 4 out of 5 games. It's, I think, impossible for the Lakers to beat Denver 4 out of 5 games. Now, had they won that game last night, which they should have, they had so many chances to put that game away. My son and I are LeBron fans. We're rooting for the Lakers, and we were sitting there with 7, 6, 5 minutes left to go in the game just saying, oh, there was that one rebound putback we needed, and this game was over. If you just get one of those with 3, 4, 5 minutes left to go in the game, they would have put in the game away. They would have crushed Denver's spirit, but you just kept Denver in long enough for them to make the plays down the stretch, and Jamal Murray finally found his game. Was horrible for the first 3 quarters. Absolutely. He admitted he was horrible for the first 3 quarters. And then he caught fire and won the game for him. Denver won without Murray playing well until late. They won really without Nikola Jokic playing very well. I mean, it's as much as I would love to say that LeBron can win this series, that Lakers can come back and win it, I don't think it's possible. But I will say this. If they do it, I believe it will be LeBron James.
Dick's dropped out. Unfortunately, we've just lost Dick there. It's a tall order down 0-2. The Lakers against the defending champions. 3 games today, by the way. 9:30 this morning. Minnesota 1-0 up against Phoenix. Game 2 in Minnesota. They're $1.65. Phoenix at $2.30 or +3 at the line. Milwaukee and Indiana. Damian Lillard, unbelievable in game 1. 35 points in the first half. Milwaukee $1.85. Indiana $2. And the Clippers are $1.85 against Dallas, who just refused to turn up in the first half. They're $2 outsiders.
That's amazing stat, Mido, that Dick mentioned wasn't with the Lakers. They have been in front
for, what, 23 minutes?
Only 23 minutes. So the Lakers have been in control, yet they still walk away.
0-2.
They walk away with nothing. And yesterday, watching it, it was just like they just need one basket at that critical time, and they couldn't make it. And then they just hung in. Murray started to get his radar on and just went bang.
Sign of a champion team.
Oh, they're going to be hard to beat. Hard to beat.
Dick, might just before we get into the draft, just your tips for today's games. Minnesota, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Indiana, and the Clippers and Dallas.
Yeah, you know, guys, these 3 series don't intrigue me as much as the first 2 because I really think the dark horses in the NBA playoffs were those 2-7 seeds in Philadelphia and the Lakers. So I'm watching those much closer. But I do think that the Pacers +1.5 against Milwaukee has some value there. Milwaukee surprisingly easily won that game, and I think the Pacers are every bit as good as Milwaukee is without Giannis. So give me the Pacers +1.5 tonight.
Quarterbacks in the NFL draft, Dick, first 3 choices?
It appears right now the first 3 choices are going to be Williams, followed by Daniels, followed by Drake May. And the swap has been that Daniels for Drake May. Drake May was projected to be the number 2 pick for Washington for months and months and months. And Jaden Daniels appears to have passed him up, at least in the betting odds. We don't know because it could all be smokescreen, right? We don't exactly know what these teams are thinking. J.J. McCarthy's kind of that dark horse that could go 4. But he could also fall as well. And he could, it'll be interesting to see which of these quarterbacks does fall down the radar. I think J.J. McCarthy is probably the most polarizing of all of them, as is Michael Penix. I don't think Penix could go in the top 5, but Penix could go anywhere from the Raiders at what are they, 12 or 13, all the way down to the beginning of the second round. I think the same for J.J. McCarthy. If he doesn't go 4, I think we could see J.J. McCarthy slip down the board a little bit, potentially to maybe a Minnesota.
Okay, J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota, by the way. That tabs open markets under NFL draft novelties. So McCarthy to Minnesota, that's actually, they're the favorite to get J.J. McCarthy with us at $2.60. What about Bo Nix and also Michael Penix, who of course played for your University of Washington Huskies? Where would you see them being drafted by which franchise?
Well, I know these quarterbacks very, very well, probably better than any other 2 quarterbacks in the draft. I've seen them a multitude of times. Michael Penix is the better quarterback. There's no question about it at all. The only question with him is the injuries. He has not had any injuries here at the University of Washington. They were all when he was with Indiana. He is the better deep ball thrower. Bo Nix is a tremendous leader. He's more mobile than Michael Penix is. The bet I like for Penix is the over-under draft position. We have it at 32.5. I don't know what you guys have it in, but I think Michael Penix is a first-round draft pick. I would wager he goes in the first round, which would pay off that plus 110 or whatever it is here in the States. Bo Nix, I'm a little more questionable on whether he would go in the first round. And I don't know what his over-under in draft position is, but Michael Penix should be drafted higher than Bo Nix. I'm not going to guarantee he will be, but he absolutely should be, and I think he has a better career than Bo Nix
and
does.
Just on those bets for our listeners, under player draft position, we've got both Bo Nix and Michael Penix, both at 32.5, but with Penix, the under's $1.55 in line what Dick is saying, and for Bo Nix, the over's $1.50, again in line with what Dick is saying.
Dick, I just want to read out a couple of text messages and see whether you can help our listeners or not.
Yeah.
Hi, Dick. Can't wait for the draft. One of the best days of the year. Do the Jets take Joe Alt or Brock Bowers?
Oh, man. It really depends on if you just want to get a solid 10-year starter at left tackle that you kind of solve your offensive line problem, which is usually the more prudent approach, or if you want to swing big and get the next, what you think is the next Travis Kelce. I mean, Brock Bowers is, to me, probably the most impressive tight end I've ever seen come out of college. Now, he just went through a big injury, kept him out for four or five months. I think he's fully recovered from that. I really like them both, but think of one as being kind of a luxury item. Brock Bowers being that Ferrari. Do you want to spend the money on the Ferrari that is just going to be fun to watch, or do you just want a rock solid investment? And Joe Alt would be a rock solid investment at left tackle. He's not going to be flashy. He's not going to sell a lot of jerseys, but he's going to help you win a lot of games.
Well, that was from Lloyd from Newport. This is from Cal from Bathurst. Hey, Dick, will Atlanta or Philly lose any draft capital for breaching the anti-tampering rules?
I think they will. I really do. I think Atlanta definitely tampered with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins admitted it. I mean, kind of accidentally admitted it, that he was in conversations with Atlanta before going there. But, yeah, I would think that they would. It may not be in this year's draft. Usually they postpone it a year when something like this happens. But I think we'll hear it within the next week, and that they could lose – I mean, I don't know, probably a mid-round pick maybe next year. It'll be more than a slap on the wrist, I would think.
No name on this text message, and I don't know whether you'll know what he's talking about, but do the Vikings pick up Dick's man from Seattle?
Yeah, I think that's Penix.
Is that Penix, is it?
Yeah, that would be Michael Penix. 11 would be pretty high, but what Minnesota could do is they could trade down. If they could find a partner and they still think they could get Penix, you know, somewhere in the middle of the first round range. Now, the needy teams for quarterbacks, there are a few of them. So it might be a little bit dangerous for Minnesota to trade down. And if they really like Penix that much, I would suggest just snapping him up at 11, because if you trade down, you've got the Broncos who need a quarterback at 12. You have the Raiders that need a quarterback at 13. You've got the Seahawks that kind of need a quarterback as well at 16. You got three teams right there. So Penix could be snapped up if you take the risk and trade down for more draft capital.
Just on the New York Jets as well, trading quarterback Zach Wilson, more for Denver. What do you read into this?
Well, I read into a failed quarterback under one system goes to a coach in Sean Payton that knows quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think he's going to magically transform Zach Wilson into a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, could he be a one-year option? Could he be a guy that's a capable backup? Denver really didn't have to give up anything for him at all. So it's a low risk. I would call it a low risk, medium reward type deal for the Denver Broncos.
Tell you what, Dick, we're excited, mate. We're heading to Adelaide for the LIV Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
We can't wait to get down there.
That'll be a lot of fun. And it's going to take center stage, I think, in the world of golf this week, because the PGA Tour has got their team event, the Zurich Classic, which you know, there's some big names there. Xander Schauffele's there. Zalatoris is there. Patrick Cantlay's there. You've got a few big names there, but a majority of the massive names in the PGA Tour are taking this week off, probably going to take a couple weeks off leading up to the PGA Championship. So you're going to see some great golf there, and you know, it'll be fun to watch those guys. I mean, I have not handicapped that as yet, but a guy I trust a lot is putting some money on Patrick Reed in that tournament. So for whatever that's worth, he's tipping Patrick Reed.
Just in Major League Baseball, Dick, very early in the 162-game regular season, but the LA Dodgers, who have a payroll like no other, superstars like no other, have only won 3 of their last 10.
You know, it's funny. Two of the biggest name teams in Major League Baseball are really struggling. The Dodgers are struggling for them. They're not having an awful start. And then you've got the Houston Astros. My gosh, what are they, 7-16, something like that? A team that's a perennial playoff team, a team that my Mariners are always fighting with at the top of the American League West. So as a Mariner fan, I'm loving the fact that the Astros are 7-16 right now. But, yeah, I think the Dodgers will be fine. They're probably just feeling some things out. I think both the Astros will, you know, the Astros will be, you know, in the high 80s in wins and competing for a playoff spot. The Dodgers should have no problem winning that division. It is very early, as you mentioned.
Any surprises in the ice hockey, the Stanley Cup?
Not as of yet, guys. And I gotta be honest with you. With my focus on the draft and the NBA playoffs, I'll turn my eye to the NHL playoffs here when we get a little deeper into the playoffs.
And, I'm just seeing in the NFL as well, it doesn't matter who drafts who, because Andy Reid, the GM and the president, have already signed there at Kansas City. So it doesn't matter what happens, the road to the Super Bowl, the road to the championship will seemingly go through Kansas City for years to come after reading that, Dick. Provided Mahomes is healthy, of course.
It's the best quarterback-coach combo in the NFL and has been for a long time. It will be for the next few years as well. And what'll be interesting to see is can the quarterback-coach combo of Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, push Kansas City a little bit in that division, because it doesn't appear like the other teams in that division are going to be able to do it. But as long as Mahomes is the quarterback, and as you mentioned, healthy, and as long as Andy Reid's the coach, Kansas City is going to be the team to beat in the NFL, and even in their down seasons, they'll still be one of the best teams in the NFL.
Who do you think will be the biggest winner out of the draft then, Dick? Give us a prediction.
Oh, man. I think any team – I'm going to be a total homer here. Any team that snaps up Michael Penix is going to be the biggest winner.
Jeez, you got a rap on him, haven't you?
Oh, he's passing. Yeah. He's got a bullet. He's on.
It's the best quarterback in Husky history, guys. Yeah. And our program's been around for 110 years. So.
Why is he going to go so late in the draft then?
It's just the injury and the lack of, you know, the lack of mobility, the perceived lack of mobility. He has mobility. He's got sneaky mobility. He just never had to use it at Washington because Washington had such an amazing offensive line and such great wide receivers. He never had to run for his life. He just sat back in the pocket and zipped balls all around the yard.
Hasn't hurt CJ Stroud at Houston, has it?
Oh, no, right. I know, but I've heard a lot of people talk about him. Mm. But yet, where you see him ranked in the draft, like you're going, if he's that good, why wouldn't he be taken earlier?
I think Dick's right. He'll be earlier than you think. One of those quarterback needy teams. I reckon they'll snap him up, and we can't wait for a Dick. Thank you so much, mate. We will chat next week. Get all the
fallout. Sounds great. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. It's going to be a fun week.